The opinions and viewpoints expressed on the Neverwinter Nights podcast are not necessarily those of its sponsors, nor of Obsidian, BioWare, Atari, their partners, or employees. The Neverwinter Nights podcast is a production of These Old Geeks, which is solely responsible for its content. Hey, all you role players, grab your milk and cookies and listen up. It's time for another episode of the Neverwinter Nights podcast, a weekly show dedicated to the Neverwinter Nights game series, bringing you news, tips, interviews, and reviews for the community by the community.
Hi, I'm Jay, a.k.a. Navinka Naroda.
And I'm Trey, a.k.a. Ashkan Zilo, bringing you episode number 22.
Recorded live on Tuesday, April 10th, for the week of April 13th, 2007.
So what are we going to discuss this week, Jay?
Well, this week we continue our discussion on races and reveal the elusive question number 3 in our Neverwinter Nights podcast DM-led event. That's the contest that is going to be led for us by Gallows Bird.
Over at theshadowsbeeves.net.
Yep. And looks like we've got a little blurb here about Obsidian Entertainment announces its first community mod making contest. I know a couple episodes, I think while you were on vacation, we covered this story where they had talked about having it, and now they've come out with some official words, so we'll get into the details of that. I got a letter I wanted to read. I think it, and Darian is the way you pronounce this. I had a reply or comment for episode 21. It said, in talking about the Module of the Year contest, as you remember, we were wondering and discussing how come there didn't seem to be different categories for the modules. And he says, I think in episode 21 we were talking about being curious about the type of mods in the list for the competition. He said, as Bruce mentioned in his interview, the Vault community is largely focused on standalone mods rather than DMable ones or persistent worlds. And I think that's reflected in the contest. They're all standalone mods, no DM required. So all the modules that he said were on that list, except for probably Bruce's, because we know Bruce told us that his was made to be DM'd, are all single-player mods.
Interesting.
I said most of them are strictly single-player, although 7 of them are listed as supporting either single-player or multiplayer. So I appreciate I hope we're saying this right, and Darian, I appreciate all the comments that you posted on the site, and I think Trey, didn't you say you even checked out his site?
He has a mod called Sanctum of the Archmage, and you can check that out over at Andarian.net, Andarian.net, to kind of give you a little background on what that module is about. 7 years ago, the throne of Carlissa was usurped and the kingdom overrun by the warlord Zomarin, also known as Black Magnus. The stories told by the travelers and refugees were all the same, that the warlord somehow managed to summon an army of demons willing to serve him and launched a surprise attack on the Carlissian capital city of Lanamon. King Danor and the entire royal family were brutally slaughtered, and Zomarin took the throne for himself. So there's more to the story, so I'll let you read more about it.
Yeah, it sounds like that would make a good mod spotlight. Hint, hint, wink, wink, nudge, nudge, say no more, say no more.
But the Sanctum of the Archmage is actually a story concept that is being developed in multiple forms. It was originally conceived in the D&D campaign that the author ran as a DM years ago, and it's now being written as a series of novels.
Oh, very cool.
Yeah. So a portion of the backstory to the novels is also under development in the form of fantasy
games. So these
are
what he used to play, pen and paper, and now he's, or pencil and paper,
yep,
and now he's written books on them, and now making them into Neverwinter Nights, I guess, I'm assuming Neverwinter Nights 2 modules, does it say?
Yeah, I'm getting to that here. He's actually, he wrote his first chapter of the saga called The Sight, was written using the Aurora engine for Neverwinter Nights 1, and then the second chapter, The Miracle Worker, he is currently being written. using the Electron engine and toolset developed for Neverwinter Nights Tool. The part of the saga being developed in the form, you know, for Neverwinter Nights,
right,
is the backstory leading up to the beginning of the first novel. So the modules tell the original story of some of the major characters appearing in the novels and of the first rebellion against the reign of the Black Magnus. The player assumes the role of the protagonist of the saga, a mysterious figure known as the Miracle Worker, gifted with a unique kind of foresight that may prove to be the only hope for defeating the Warlord. He becomes the close friend and ally of the deposed Princess of Carlissa. Ooh. Now the only surviving member of the royal family. So the princess is the only surviving member of the royal family.
So what I want to know is...
And so together they struggle to turn a fragile rebel force into a powerful alliance that could free their kingdom from the ravages of the demon horde. So some of the characters in this module are, of course, you, the player, the miracle worker, like I mentioned. The princess's name is Robin Blackwing, also known as Princess Redinia Kilraven. Leonard the Archmage is Robin's grandfather. Orion Denaria is in a seasoned adventure and a trusted agent of the Carlissian Resistance. Diana Dow Maria is the daughter of the Dorian Ambassador to Carissa, or Carlissa. And then there's the Black Magnus, the powerful warlock. So, sounds interesting.
Hey, are you ever tired of logging on to a persistent world, only to spend 2 hours figuring out how to get out of the starting city, then promptly getting smeared by an overly powerful monster, only to be respawned in the fugue plane, whereby you get to spend a couple more hours finding someone to res you?
Happens to me all the time.
Well, then Netheria was designed with you in mind.
Who?
Netheria.
Oh, yeah.
That's a module off of the vault on the communities.
Yes.
So there's no fugue plane. There's no gigantic cities to navigate. There is, it says, plenty of action, exploration, and baddies to kill. The operative word being here is fun. That's capital F-U-N. Netheria is an attempt to create a world where a player can log on, quickly get the gist of what's going on, and literally jump into the action, all the while still retaining the feel of a persistent style world. So that's a module that is featured over on the Vault, IGN's Vault right now.
So what are some of the features and systems that make that persistent world?
Well, it says it's persistent local character saving, so I guess you're not using a server vault. You can create your character locally. They have their own custom XP scripts tailored for easy leveling early on and bonuses for grouping. There's a party loot notification, respawning monsters with thousands of custom item drops, drugs, and an addiction system for a little added flavor, it says.
Oh, my goodness.
Limited life torches, and that's capital life torches, so that may be something special there. And I'm going to have a hard time pronouncing this one, PC Scry. That's S-C-R-Y. So it displays an easy-to-read list of PCs and their location.
Sure, that's not scary misspelled.
It could be. It says dropped item cleanup for areas, player guild system with claimable guild halls, portal-based navigation. What's that? Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say that reminds me of Nordok. You know, we had guilds in Nordok.
It says portal-based navigation lets you get to the action quick. Legendary level system with newly added areas for players over the 40th level.
Wow.
Custom sub-races, Omega Item Enhancement Forge, player-owned housing, I know you like that, PvP Battleground, and another one of your favorites, mounts.
Easy there.
Well, it is. That's one of your favorite things that you would look for in the world when you're trying to play this. If there's, you always get jazzed if there's mounts involved. So that sounds
horses.
Like, horses, yes. Mounts meaning rideable.
I like the idea that you can jump into the different areas with portals.
Yeah, but I don't know if that's... This is a... let's check here. Persistent World. Does it say this is Neverwinter Nights? This is Neverwinter Nights 1 module.
Mm-hmm.
Says, anyone still playing Neverwinter Nights 1? We are Netheria. Sure are. Realms of Netheria is a heavy action hack and slash server with optional role-playing and questing. It says there are servers located under the Persistent World action category.
Yes.
It says Phoenix Server or direct connect to IP address 70.244.183.160, port 5121.
It requires the CEP, too.
Yes, it does. It requires Community Expansion Pack version 2.
I noticed here, just this past Sunday on Easter, they posted a list of spells that I don't know if they've either added to the
for this world.
Yeah. If you go to their main webpage, Blinding Speed, Sunbeam, Aura Vitality, Mighty Rage, Dark Fire. That sounds interesting. War Domain.
Let's touch base on this contest from Obsidian.
Okay.
Obsidian, several weeks ago, posted to the BioWare Neverwhere Nights 2 forums about the possibility of there being a community mod-making contest. And I think Michelle and I went into that a couple minute discussion about that. They have finally discussed or released the announcement of this mod-making contest. On April 4th, in the BioWare forums, Rob McGinnis, professional whatever is his title here, posted, Obsidian Entertainment is pleased to announce its first community mod-making contest. Said, for each mod-making contest, evidently there's going to be more than one, there will be a theme such as the April Fool. Each mod entered into the contest will involve the theme in some way. For the April Fool contest, you might make a module about a court jester or a comedy. Maybe you might just make a silly mod, or perhaps you'll make a dark mod about someone being fooled into giving up their fortune, their love, or their soul.
What if this contest is an April Fool's?
Well, for the first contest, the theme will be Grimm's Fairy Tales. So the final day to submit modules will be Monday, April 30th at noon, that specific time.
Mm-hmm.
Said you can remake one of Grimm's Fairy Tales or do anything else as long as your mod has something to do with the theme. So it'd be interesting to see what kind of mods come up with. Grimm's Fairy Tales gives a lot of leeway for good ideas.
Hello everybody, my name is Kevin Dane. I'm the project leader of the upcoming module, The Other Side Chronicles. This module is a single-player campaign for Neverwinter Nights 2, which will be released in chapters during the course of time. The module takes place in our own universe, on the continent of Arith. The player will be guided throughout the whole continent to get through the upcoming dark times, and will discover all is connected to a mysterious portal located in the fallen kingdom of Rinskel. I'm currently working alone on the module with some help now and then from others, and I will start recruiting after the Introduction Act is released. At this moment, the module is not available for download, but I expect the first act to be released somewhere in the first quarter of 2007. Be sure to visit othersidemod.co.nr for more information. That's othersidemod.co.nr.
Okay, let's jump right into question number 3 for our exclusive NWN podcast. Teams up with the Galsbird Persistent World over at ShadowThieves.net.
That's right. It's going to be a Neverwinter Nights 1 DM-led event.
Mm-hmm. So this is question number 3 of our 4. So next week will be our last
question.
That's
right. So you got to make sure you keep all the answers and questions together, so you can send those in at the end of next week's show.
Drum roll, please.
Question number 3 is...
List all the mod spotlights that we have aired. In other words, tell us the name of the module and who created it that we have aired on our episodes.
And for bonus points, you can tell us which episodes. No, just kidding.
We're giving away bonus points?
Just kidding. Yeah, just list the mod spotlights we've aired. So that'll be any module that we've had in the mod spotlights. That would be the produced segment. It's not going to be too hard because there haven't been that many of them. So that's question number 3 of our 4 questions. So next week will be the final question that you can send in your answers. And then we will start working on scheduling and getting everyone lined out for a date to have this event. I'm excited. I think it'll be fun. Hey, Trey, I think we finally arrived.
Again?
I think this is the de facto arrival status. I have deleted, and I know you have, more spam comments from our website for Cialis and Viagra and everything else in the last 2 weeks than I usually get in my inbox and my own email addresses for about a month. So we've hit the big search engine somewhere, and they are killing us. No, it's not been that bad, but we have been getting a lot, so I think it would be a challenge to our listeners to see if they can outdo the spammers in comments.
No, I've seen some in there nobody can outdo.
Now, we've got some very loyal listeners that we really appreciate. Of course, we appreciate all of our listeners, but we seem to have several of them that are very active on replying to making comments or correcting things that we say incorrectly, so which is appreciated.
What? We never say anything incorrectly. What are you talking about?
No, we are. No one ever questions our authority. Right. So, are you ready to dive into races?
Why, yes, I am. Let's race into it.
Let's do it. There is a little bit of difference in the character creation guide and the Game Banshee site and how they're covered. So this is part two of character creation. So races, we're going to give you a good overview of the races that are available in Neverwinter Nights 1. And then we will try to do as well as we can with Neverwinter Nights 2. I'm not sure what we may be a little light in information on that part.
Okay.
So races for Neverwinter Nights 1 said one of the biggest decisions you'll have in creating a character is choosing what race you want to play. Each race brings with it a distinct cultural attributes, abilities, advantages, and disadvantages. As a player, you can shape whatever history or education you want into your character, but choosing a race tends to bring certain permanent attributes to your character. If you play a halfling, for example, you will be of shorter stature to most of the races in Neverwinter Nights. You can be an unusually large halfling, but you still will be seen as a halfling by the rest of the world. Also consider, some races have an irrational dislike for other races. Dwarves are known for their mistrust of elves, for example. You could be the most true-hearted paladin in the known world, but the dwarven bartender won't let you stay because you're an elf. These are the things to consider when picking a race.
The particulars of the culture of each race will not be dealt with, as each can be subject to interpretation by the player when creating a character. The bonuses and penalties are described as they affect your character in the game.
So humans are considered very adaptable to their surroundings and being quick to learn new skills. Their favored class is any, so any human can have any class as its favorite class. When determining whether a multi-class human suffers an XP penalty, this is something we've always had big debates about, the highest level class does not count. Humans are quick to master. They get one extra feat at first level. They're skilled. They get 4 extra skill points at first level, plus 1 additional skill point at each level up.
In Neverwinter Nights 2, humans are the most adaptable of the common races. Short generations and a knack for migration and conquest mean they are very physically diverse as well. Skin shades range from nearly black to very pale, hair from black to blonde, and facial hair for men from sparse to thick. Humans are often unorthodox in their dress, sporting unusual hairstyles, fanciful clothes, tattoos, and the like. Yeah, no, Jay, I don't like that dress you always wear.
Oh, no.
When you're playing.
The chicks dig it.
Just as in Neverwinter Nights 1, they're quick to master, 1 extra feat at first level, skilled, 4 extra skill points at first level, plus 1 additional skill point at each following level. And their favorite class is any class. When determining whether a multi-class human suffers an XP penalty, his highest level class does not count.
Now, the dwarf is an extraordinarily resilient to damage and magic. They are feared warriors. The dwarven ability adjustment is a +2 constitution and a -2 charisma. Their favorite class is fighter. A multi-class dwarf's fighter class does not count when you're determining whether he suffers an XP penalty for multiclassing. His special abilities are Stone Cunning, Dark Vision, Hardiness versus Poisons, Hardiness versus Spells, Offensive Training versus Orcs, Offensive Training versus Goblinoids, Defensive Training versus Giants, and it has a skill affinity for lore.
In Neverwinter, too, dwarves are known for their skill in warfare, their ability to withstand physical and magical punishment, their knowledge of the Earth's secrets, their hard work, and their capacity for drinking ale.
Hey, I like that already.
Their mysterious kingdoms carved out from the insides of mountains are renowned for the marvelous treasures that they produce as gifts or for trade. And Neverwinter, too, there's actually three dwarven subraces, which we'll get into when we start talking about dwarves.
Speaking of them not liking elves, that's the elf is the next one we're going to check. Well, the next one we'll go over. Lithe, graceful, and deadly, elves have magic infused into their very being. Their elven ability adjustments are a +2 for dexterity and a -2 for constitution. Their favorite class is a wizard. A multi-classes elf wizard class does not count when determining whether he suffers an XP penalty on multiclassing. His special abilities are immune to sleep, hardiness versus enchantments, bonus proficiencies for longsword, rapier, shortbow, and longbow, a skill affinity for listen, a skill affinity for search, and a skill affinity for spot. He has keen senses and low light vision.
And over in Neverwinter, too, elves mingle freely in the human lands, always welcome yet never at home there. They are well known for their poetry, dance, song, lore, and magical arts. And as the dwarves had sub-races in Neverwinter, too, the elf, there are actually four elven.
Back in Neverwinter Nights 1, the gnome, they are master tinkerers, inventors, and scientists among the races. The ability adjustments for the gnome is a +2 constitution and a -2 strength. Their favored class is a wizard. A multi-class gnome wizard class does not count when determining whether he suffers an XP penalty for multiclassing. Special abilities are listed as small stature, hardiness versus illusions, offensive training versus reptilians, offensive training versus goblinoids, defensive training versus giants, and skill affinities for listen, concentration, with a skill focus for illusion, and has low light vision.
Gnomes and Neverwinter, too, are welcomed everywhere as technicians, alchemists, and inventors. Despite the demand for the skills, most gnomes prefer to remain among their own kind, living in comfortable burrows beneath rolling, wooded hills where animals abound.
Oh, those crazy abounding animals.
In Neverwinter, too, gnomes have or actually can be broken down into two sub-races also. That would be a rock gnome and a deep gnome.
The next for Neverwinter Nights 1, we've got the half-elf. That's a potential mix, or excuse me, a potent mix of human curiosity and ingenuity.
Potentially potent?
Potentially potent. I guess that would be the best way to look at it. The half-elf is a potentially potent mix of human curiosity and ingenuity with the elven longer lifespan and magical defenses. The favored class can be any when determining whether multi-class half-elf suffers an XP penalty. The highest level class does not count. The half-elf special abilities for Neverwinter Nights 1 are immunity to sleep, hardiness versus enchantments, partial skill affinities for listen and search and spot, and they have low light visions.
In Neverwinter Nights 2, humans and elves sometimes wed. The elf attracted to the human's energy and the human to the elf's grace. These marriages end quickly. The elves count years because a human's life is so brief, but they leave an enduring legacy, half-elf children. The life of a half-elf can be hard. If raised by elves, the half-elf seems to grow with astounding speed, reaching maturity within 2 decades. If, on the other hand, she is raised by humans, the half-elf finds herself different from her peers, more aloof, more sensitive, less ambitious, and slower to mature. And as far as racial traits, sounds like they're all the same that you just read for Neverwinter Nights 1. Hardiness versus enchantments, immunity to magical sleep effects, +2 racial bonus to saving throws against enchantment spells or effects.
Well, just like when humans and elves get together, I'm not sure how the half-orc comes about. I guess it would be hopefully not human. So the brutal orc mixed with the natural intelligence of the human, well, there we go, they are humans and orcs, has produced a race of enormous strength and endurance, possessing a foul temper and dubious intelligence. Have they been looking at my wife? How'd they get that? The orc ability adjustments are +2 strength, -2 intelligence, and -2 charisma. Their favored class is a barbarian, and multiclassing half orcs, barbarian class does not count when determining whether they get an XP penalty. Their special abilities are dark vision, and that's it.
Neverwinter 2, in the wild frontiers, tribes of human and orc barbarians live in uneasy balance, fighting in times of war and trading in times of peace. Half orcs who are born in the frontier may live with either human or orc parents, but they are nonetheless exposed to both cultures. Some, for whatever reason, leave their homeland and travel to civilized lands, bringing with them the tenacity, courage, and combat prowess that they have developed in the wilds.
The last one we've got for Neverwinter Nights 1 is a halfling. They're tiny, resourceful, and skillful. Halflings are sometimes dismissed as weak by the foolish. Their ability adjustments are +2 dexterity and -2 strength. Their favored class is a rogue. Imagine that. A multiclassing halfling rogue does not incur an XP penalty. Its special abilities are small stature, skill affinity for move silently, and listen. They also have lucky, fearless, and good aim.
Neverwinter 2 also has halflings, and they are clever, capable opportunists. Halfling individuals and clans find room for themselves wherever they can. Often they are strangers and wanderers, and others react to them with suspicion or curiosity. Depending on the clan, halflings might be reliable, hardworking, if clannish, citizens, or they might be thieves, just waiting for their opportunity to make a big score and disappear into the dead of the night. Regardless, halflings are cunning and resourceful survivors, and they have two sub-races in Neverwinter Nights, Lightfoot halflings and Strongheart halflings. And then also, Neverwinter Nights 2 adds another base race called Plain-Touched. Plain-Touched is a general word to describe someone who can trace his or her bloodline back to an outsider, usually a fiend or celestial. The effects of having a supernatural being in one's heritage last for many generations, although not as dramatically altered as half-celestial or a half-fiend. Plain-Touched still retains some special qualities. The two most common varieties of Plain-Touched are Asmars and Teflings. Asmars are humans with some trace of celestial blood in their veins, and Teflings have some fiendishness in their family tree.
Thanks for listening, and next week be sure to join us where we'll continue our discussion on character races. If you have any comments, questions, or show ideas, send them to show@neverwinternightspodcast.com.
Also, while you're on our site, you can add your shout-out to our Frapper mat by clicking the Frapper logo. And if you're a member of the mod team and would like to have your module featured on the Mod Spotlight, check out the submitted Mod Spotlight page on our website.
Until next week, get in game
and level up.